On this episode of the Dunk Tank, the home edition, guest Brian Baldinger, a comedy and TV casting specialist.
And your best friend.
Yeah. He breaks down my creative issues.
I enjoyed it.
And Chet's female issues.
I'm afraid to listen to this one.
Shit gets deep.
I think it's our best episode.
All right, then. Dunk. Dunk. Shut up. On this very special episode from my house, Chet fucks up hooking up the sound equipment, so it's going to sound like shit.
Well, no, people will stop listening then. It can't be that bad.
Everything is going, go your way, on top of the world.
That's going to be my alternative ringtone.
Alright, I'm gonna put him up.
Just to cancel your line. Do you want us to stop recording?
No, I'll keep talking.
Alright, we're gonna talk well.
Talk shit about Dunkin'.
Dunkin' with parents for a little bit.
Alright, talk shit about him. What's your most embarrassing story you know about Brian?
Oh, man. I don't know. Nothing I'm gonna say on his podcast.
Okay, I'll go more serious route then. Do you think he's fixable?
Yes. Yeah, Dunk's fixable. He needs to, like, you know, see somebody professionally.
That's what I
said. We all try to get him. He just won't go in.
The argument I've made on this podcast before is he will say, you know, well, I need to be a parent. I need to, you know, take care of my kids. I need to take care of my wife. I need to go on the road, do these things. But, like, if he... But, you know, like a therapist or whatever the outcome.
Yeah, he's going to
first. It'll better all of those things by taking, like, maybe he feels selfish or maybe just afraid. But by taking care of those things, it will better all
I think,
the other
I think he's afraid of tackling the stuff because he's just, like, doesn't want to dig it all up. But he just has to. I mean, it's like he just gets really mad, like, so easily. And, like, he just can just get so frustrated by everything. And it's clear that, like, he needs to, like, really delve in and, like, dig some shit out for and, like. And it's not about drugs. Like, he kind of, when you bring up that whole concept, he's like, well, I went on packs and it really fucked me up for so long. It's like, this is not about drugs. It's about emotions. Like, you have to. And it sounds fruity, and I think he's from an older school and had a family that was even much older. That, like, you know, it's like, you got to push that stuff down. But, no, man. Yeah, Dunkin' needs
back.
Counseling.
It'll be good for you to listen to this, Brian.
What the fuck? I just walked back in and Dunkelman's need counseling?
Like, our guest on the last episode, I turned him like, Brian, this isn't a podcast. This is an intervention.
Fuck you guys, man.
It's true.
You can do it, man. We want to see you.
We just want you to be happy, Brian.
I am happy.
Why does it smell like bourbon in here all of a sudden?
Just have wine. I told you I don't drink a lot of bourbon anymore because I'm a responsible parent. I usually just drink white wine. I am much happier than I was.
Okay.
Don't you think so?
I don't know.
I think we've both calmed down a lot.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Yeah. I'm not denying that you're not moving in the right direction.
Well, when one thing that you you turn to is you used to drink 6 to 7 Red Bulls a night.
Yes.
That's...
No, that's actually not true. I mean,
it would be it was hardcore for a while.
It was a lot of Red Bulls. It was a lot.
Way too much. Because I remember sometimes, like, it's an asshole thing to say, but a couple times I was like, problems are just fucking have a drink and calm the goddamn hell down.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was the crutch I used to stop drinking for a while. Like, when I was still going out and newly sober and not sure how to handle this new, like, lifestyle I was embarking on, and I was like, I need something that's going to change me.
Right.
And so I'll be like, this will change me, and it won't be breaking the sobriety thing. So I would like, well, I would just have like a bunch of Red Bulls and just like feel a little change. And like, I didn't want to do the non-alcoholic beer thing, so that's what I did. But I haven't had a Red Bull in a long time. I'm Diet Coke all the time, but I'm kind of off the caffeine. Well, I'm going to have coffee in the morning.
Do you have, I was going to say, do you have like other things now, like other outlets? You mentioned you're in better shape than ever. Is that something that you...
I'm in better shape than I was then when I was drinking, but partly because I smoke.
You started smoking again, you lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, like, I've been a smoke... In the last 10 years, I've been a smoker for, like, probably 6 and a non-smoker for, like, 4. And I've learned now that when I'm a non-smoker, I'm 200 pounds, and when I'm a smoker, I'm 180. And every time I'm like, Jesus, I'm fat, and I pick up smoking again, I lose 20 pounds in, like, a month.
I think I'm going to start smoking for pilot season.
I recommend it, guys. Don't do it. But
maybe
seriously,
they'll do a Best of Celebrity Fit Club season.
I'm in. I'm in. I don't care.
It works.
I will take 70,000 right now. What do I got to do? Give me the camouflage undies. Let's go. Spin me around.
I'm going to get better.
Screech is in. Good. Let's do this.
Get me the camouflage undies. I still have that that sweatshirt you gave me that says Brian.
Oh, I just tried to get rid of all of them.
The greatest headshot of all time.
Oh my god.
Do you know about that? Like, Clubs, he's just tried to escape it for years. Somehow, Clubs always find this picture.
American Idol shot.
No, Celebrity Fit Club.
Him in gym shorts.
With
like, that's
my hand, with my hand on my chin on my hand.
Well, you gotta take some more pictures, dude.
I send them the pictures. I even talked about this. I'm like, I send the pictures.
You gotta get them in the world yourself.
They're on the internet. You can't take something down from the. They get. Them.
I know. You have to get the new pictures out there.
They are.
So that when somebody Google images Brian Dunkelman, that's what's come up, and not the thing that you have.
Well, how do I flood my new? How do I do that?
You have to
just flood them.
No, not them. You have to put them up.
No,
on Tumblr.
Flood the pictures
on your website, right?
I know.
We'll
I'm saying you have to put the pictures up somehow.
We'll put the tweet on the website with the pictures. Doesn't matter.
They want the one in the red fucking t-shirt.
It isn't even in the top
with the chin in the hand and the shorts on.
You have to scroll down to find that picture.
I even sent them. I'll send them. Here's a choice of 3 headshots. I look on their website. It's the fucking fickle.
The first time I had to work with Dunkelman when I was house MC at my own club. That's how it was. It's like I thought about switching up like this Celebrity Fit Club guy. That's how he was being advertised at the time.
Right, right. It's
like this guy's gonna be terrible, and then you're great.
It was like there was a little hesitation.
You quoted your Dunk Lemon bit for weeks after.
Dunk Lemon. Chet, I would like to mention that you are wearing a Marc Maron's WTF t-shirt while you host your own podcast.
I was hoping that some of that success will somehow slip through ours by osmosis.
I just came from the gym and I work out in the shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for coming over all sweaty.
I'm sorry.
Really appreciate that.
I'm in the best gym.
Fucking dog lick your legs. Jesus.
I'm in the best gym streak of my life right now. I've been 15,
gym streak.
15 in the last 16 days, and I've dropped 5 pounds this month. If I drop 6 more pounds, I can say I've lost 100 pounds.
Whoa.
What? How big were you, dude?
I maxed out at 283. I'm at
picture now, please.
Right now. You guys keep talking. I will find a picture.
All right.
Last Wednesday night, there was a comic that actually went up and was like, you guys have just lost 130 pounds. Clap, clap, clap. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Yo,
like,
boom.
You can't do that.
Nailed it.
What are you doing?
Here's a picture.
Where are they now?
That's got to be close to my heaviest.
Yeah. Back when he looked like he swallowed Penn Jillette.
I'm just thinking, you know, SNL. This is an SNL guy. You know?
That's what that was one of the things. And then, no, like, a bunch of people told me, like, you have a very distinct look. It's like a Hurley from Lost thing. And
what are you losing for? Like, what's the point?
About a year and a half ago, I had 1 kidney. And then,
right, and just, it's a health thing.
And then kidney disease. And the number 1 killer of kidney disease isn't renal failure, but cardiovascular disease. So basically, the goal of kidney disease is to preserve kidney function as long as possible to avoid dialysis and transplant. You do that by losing weight, lowering your blood pressure, eating better, low-sodium diet, lowering your protein, which is why I can't put on a lot of muscle either, because you're supposed to lower your protein.
Oh, okay.
I had
chronic nephritis when I was in first grade, and they caught it before they had to remove either of them, but it was touch and go there for a little bit.
So, I mean, in some weird ways, it's the best thing that's happened to me. Like, I'm taking better care of myself.
Healthier.
I'm more motivated. Healthier.
Oh, man.
Got the baby monitor.
That is awesome.
I'm
looking at Dunk's baby monitor that's, like, video and audio, and so we can just basically watch his baby sleep in the other room.
We can actually talk to him, too.
How many times has your wife caught you masturbating using that?
this is the Lord.
Nah, he's out. What did you say?
Nothing.
Masturbating to my baby? That's fucked up, Chad.
No, they're like, she puts that in the living room. You know, do you think she was filming you while you're gone?
Oh, filming me jerk off? She has no interest in what my dick is doing. She doesn't listen to this. She gives a shit. Just kidding. Jokes.
No interest in what my dick is doing. I wonder what Dunk's dick
now,
is doing. I don't give a shit.
When she... she did, though, it's a real quote. She, a couple months ago, she says, you know, you go through a tremendous amount of tissues. Oh! Well, now, whose fault is that?
The dog is not like that.
The dog
that's
not like
why,
me
that's
happy
why the
or
cup
excited.
Holders come in handy.
Cup holders?
Yeah, the chairs.
You just spooge in there?
Ball them up, throw them in.
Oh.
Put the cup on. Put the coaster back on top of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. My manager, who I just started working with again in January...
On this national podcast.
He told me that he would like me to be, I believe, down to 140.
Yeah.
I've been 140 once in my life, I think 10th grade.
No.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. In 10th grade, and then after I was doing ecstasy 2 nights a week for about a year and a half. That was when I was in the best shape of my entire life. I was one. I was down under 140.
What do you weigh right now?
Right now, 170 at least.
What do you weigh on Celebrity Fit Club?
I started Fit Club at 161. I ended at 146.
How did you get down there then?
Immediately. No, it was very unpleasant.
How much weight do you think
you could get down there again, dude? When you were in, like, you just...
If I
could
get down to 160, I would be thrilled.
How much weight, if you stopped drinking, do you think you'd lose a lot of weight from that? How much?
I think in a month and a half, I'd probably drop 10 pounds immediately.
I would be interested...
I lost 40 pounds when I quit drinking.
40?
Yeah.
If you started, just for a week, put everything you eat into MyFitnessPal and see your calorie break.
Who is he?
My Fitness Pal is an online app. You just enter your
Mike.
Yeah, Fitness Pal. I just put it right all out.
It's my Fitness Pal, Mike.
I just put it in his ass.
It's the worst game of who's on first. Ever.
That's fair.
Trying to help.
And Jim.
If I can lose 100 pounds, you can lose 18 pounds.
I don't know. I just found out that Lily's mom goes to the gym during the day and drops her off at the Y. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's a Y in La Cañada. You can just dump your kid off and go do what you want for a couple hours. Game changer. That shit's happening.
I like how Dunkelman is currently looking at the two of us like we should be excited about this.
I think it's good news. I can't believe I didn't open with this.
Honey,
this is a new joke that I kind of want to open with about how people that have to express every thought that enters their head verbally, and that there's actually, people are born with a condition where they have no filter to keep them from saying inappropriate things.
Tourette's.
It's called Asperger's.
Right.
The people that choose to talk to me, they don't have Asperger's, they have asshole purgers. And then I want to get into my kind of stories that way. Like, here's an example. A few years ago, I met with a bankruptcy attorney. Wait, it gets funnier. Walked into his office. We shook hands. The first thing he said to me was, hey, so you used to host American Idol, huh? Yeah. Man, how cool is that? Well, sir, considering the nature of our little get-together today, I would have to say, not too fucking cool, but good icebreaker.
Now, the thing that you ran this
asshole
by me a couple
burgers.
Weeks ago, the thing that you refused to research what Asperger's is.
I did research it, that's why I changed it, to say the people that are approaching me, they don't have Asperger's. I wouldn't want to offend anybody who does. I didn't realize. I thought Asperger's was literally no filter.
People with Asperger's have no filter. No, people with Asperger's are like socially awkward and can't look you in the eye.
So right. You're on the autism spectrum if you have Asperger's.
Yeah, it's more autism than it is just not
lack
being.
Lack of filter.
Right. So I thought it was just a lack of filter. I'm really glad that I found that out before I went up and just trashed everybody with Asperger's. It was at the above of a Chinese restaurant, so I'm really not that worried.
I was going to say, where does that one fall in your Letterman set?
That's it.
No, see, well, he gave up on his Letterman set already.
Why?
So many podcasts talked about. You had one set that didn't go as well.
It's just rehashing old stuff and trying to make it fit. It's like finding puzzle pieces, and it's not doing me any.
Yeah, you gotta get up in town a ton.
It's not any part of the creative process for me, and I don't think it's where I want to go.
That's fine if that's the truth, but don't use that as an excuse. Like, if that's your excuse, then get out there and write 5 minutes that you want to do on that.
No, I'm going to write. Well, I mean, I'm not going to approach it that way. I'm going to approach it that I need to just go up and do new stuff.
Yes.
And not worry about whether it's something that I can do on a talk show.
Or the road.
I
want
to go up and...
See, this is the thing. Like, you know, I think you have to divorce who you are creatively now with your road persona. Because I feel like you have a set that you like to do on the road and that it works out there, but that, like, it doesn't fulfill you when you do that stuff in town. So why don't you just...
I don't really do that in town.
I know. I know.
I'm doing...
So write new shit and just do it in town. And just do it a lot in town.
Well, that's what I'm doing, but that's the whole issue, is how much do I get out and how much do I get up?
Right.
And now that the kid is at an age where he, you know, can sleep through the night,
maybe
I have no
chance
excuse
to do that. Yeah.
Other
I think
than
you...
the fact that there's, you know, there's wine here and an Xbox.
Well, I think it's got to be disheartening for you to go, for as much as you've done in stand-up, like, we'll go to some of the same rooms together, and you'll watch the other comics, and you're like, oh, it doesn't matter what new stuff I say, like, this room is just going to make me feel bad about what I say.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't look at it that way. I'm not going to get anything. I don't do stand-up because I'm trying to fill anything. I just don't. Like, I had a really fun set last Wednesday, but I don't feel the need to get up there and get that again.
See, I don't buy that because you were talking about things we haven't really talked about before, and there was an angrier side of Dunkelman, but a likable angry side.
Well, that's ideally what I've been trying to do for a couple of years.
And you tap into something, and you're, that's like how it, like, your physical body language changed. You could tell you were... I don't buy that you didn't get anything out of it. You definitely got something.
I'm not saying I didn't get anything out of it, but that doesn't make me want to turn around and go right back out.
You aren't feeling addicted.
That. No, I haven't been for a long time.
But what if you just fucking tried to get re-addicted to it? Like, you know what I mean? And just, like, got fired up about doing it a lot for a month and just see at the end of that month if you caught the addiction or not. Because if you do, that will be very good for you. You know what I mean? If you do get addicted. If you don't, well, you know, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? It's only going to work if you catch the bug and you feel like a fire and you get some new stuff you, like, love perfecting and plugged into, like, tuning it.
And how much
I have a lot of new stuff that I really like. And so there's this stuff that I won't do in town anymore that I'm like, I kind of have to do on the road.
Right.
But I've got enough now where I'm comfortable having anybody see that material. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. That's
like
good.
Industry or other comics,
yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
And that's why I want to do some of the more alt rooms, just to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
And I know I can.
Right.
But
how much do you think that saying you're not addicted enough to that you're just kind of putting up like a mental wall, like where you won't won't give yourself that opportunity to get addicted because you know some, like, that laugh back reset, like, that can happen. It'll just fuck with your head, and you don't want to be in those positions.
I can tell you because I know the way I used to be when I first started, and if I had a bad set, I would be devastated for as long as it took me to get back on stage and have a decent set. And
right.
There, that's the reason I started doing stand-up, because I felt like there was... I had a need to fill. And it wasn't about making people laugh. It was about the way I felt when I made them laugh.
Right.
I just feel like I've grown and developed as a person to the point where I don't feel that need. I don't need an audience's approval anymore. I have a pretty happy life. So that's where I don't need to be on stage. So when comics say I need to be up, I'm not sure if they just are saying I need to do that to be as good as I can and have my career go well, or if I'm home by myself, I'm going to be sad or feel like I'm at. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's where I am. If I'm not out, then, like, that's what drives me. I need...
Yeah, and that it absolutely should be, and it did when I was first here. I was out every night. But I'm just at a different point in my life. That's why I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you're right. You've been telling me this for a long time, too.
I think that every comic who gets depressed and doesn't work as much after a like later in a career at like after the 10 year mark, I think that almost always coincides with somebody going up less. And I'm not sure which causes which, whether they feel down so they don't want to go up as much, or they don't go up as much so they want to go up less. But I think that if you look at any, I mean, like Richard Jenny, how much was he going up in the last 5 years of his life? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Or just comics who are like stopped going up, like almost all of them don't seem like they have it together as much, you know what I mean? Without mentioning a lot of people, but you know who we're talking about. There's a lot of them. And it's because they don't go up as much, I think, that that happens. And I think that if any of them did and just forced themselves to reconnect to the current scene that's there, not the scene of theirs when they started, but who's there right now, and start over and build back up, I think that it would be creatively fulfilling.
Yeah, and I have to look at the reality that, you know, if I can't get into an audition, I can't
right.
book anything. But if people know that I'm out again, it may cause them to want me to come in.
Right, for sure.
And I understand
for sure.
that.
But I think it's important that if you want to do this, like, if you want to approach that, you have to really realize that you're starting over. You know what I mean? Like it's not like you can't come in and do all the biggest shows in town. Like, you have to come in and do the mics first. You know what I mean? Just
reintroduce
yourself.
What I've been doing. And I mean, I haven't done a spot at the Improv in years.
Jeez.
Before the store. I'm just not in there anymore.
Right.
And it's, there's no point.
This business sucks. Like, let's
it
just
really
leave.
Sucks.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
Ugh, Chet, get out. Go, can't you just like... like, get a job or something? Like, just
but
don't
see,
do this
I'm
yourself.
Trying to do that, too, and that's not working.
You know, I'm going to get a career job. Move to Buffalo. Like, you know, this business is terrible.
It really is.
It's the worst business. There's no security. Everybody's, like, you just, all sides of it. It's just crazy.
At first, I thought you were doing a bit, and now I feel like you're serious.
No, I'm dead serious.
No, he's
this
serious.
Business
he's
is
been
stupid.
In it. He's seen it. He's seen every level of it.
It's fun, but it's also, like, it's just... the fulfillment when you get it is fleeting, and then like you're just back desperate again. Like you cut, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down.
See, okay. That makes sense. So like,
why are you still doing it?
I don't know how to. I don't want to go to law school.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a lawyer. Like I got addicted to the business, and now I can't get out. You know what I mean? But. You can't be addicted yet. You know what I mean? I know you might think you are. But you're not yet, and it's great if you're not, because you still have a chance to be happy.
and here's the thing. What are you chasing? What are any of us chasing? Because he was there, and he saw... the American Idol, that was towards the end, like, towards the higher level of show business, at
oh,
least
yeah,
television.
You were legit famous
and
for
he
a
was
while.
There. He was there for the whole thing. He was there on set with me a lot.
Yeah.
And even to your own admission, you thought... like, some of the producers just thought that you were my drug dealer.
Yeah, they clearly
were like,
the
shady guy
who set me up. Because
I was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I would do it to be
little
funny.
Little do they know that, like, I was the reason you weren't shooting people on this.
No, absolutely. Well, I don't know why they thought that, because what... you remember the one day that they catered Italian food?
Oh, my God, I told
and
the story recently.
And Brian and I were eating this like tomato based soup.
It was
we had
delicious.
Like big bowls of this soup, and we're just, oh my God, this is the best soup that we've ever had in our lives. People are just staring at us, and we didn't realize it was the pasta sauce.
It was dipping sauce for the breadsticks.
there was this big bowl
of tomato soup next to the breadsticks. And so we're like, oh, okay, pour us all some soup, get some bread to put in the soup. And we're just like, this is so rich. Delicious!
So really rich.
These fucking assholes are drinking sauce.
So, you saw that whole summer. Was I happy?
No.
I was out of my fucking
mind.
You were
miserable.
Miserable.
Well, worse.
And you and I would stare at the computer screen for the fucking message board and read the horrible things.
Oh, yeah.
And there could be... 7 or 8 good ones for every 2 bad ones.
No, most of them were good, but the bad ones just put you in a tailspin.
They hurt your soul.
Okay, okay, that being said, though, going back to your original thing, like, okay, let's say I latch on to, I know, like, I can't be like, okay, maybe I should go back to Buffalo. Maybe, like, as soon as that doubts me, I nope, that's all, it's all over. Well, like, okay, go back to Buffalo, get a real career, go to grad school. Like, I've gone through grad school. I've had a legit career in higher education. Like, what do you say then to, okay, I've done those things, and those were the worst parts of my life to this point. Like, the most miserable, lowest, most depressed, not taking care of myself points of my life were when I was in grad school.
Get a girl, start a family. Get a girl, start a family.
It works. Let's talk about really, what's happiness? Let's discuss that we, as
a species. I gotta add this on. Because it was fun, at the show Monday, there was another Buffalo guy there that was hanging out afterwards. And I was talking about, because I was seeing this girl and her just going, you know, pretty much, I think it's over. But,
you don't need a girl in LA,
talking about, well, yeah, talking about, he brought up kind of the opposite side of that coin, like, that Buffalo mentality is like, this isn't Buffalo, like, that's a weakness. Like, people just think, like, oh, I get a girl and that fixes my problem. I settle down, I get a family, and I have a kid because I can't find happiness myself, so I need to find happiness.
No, you just, like, don't do it when you're in your early 20s. That's very rare. That's what most people do. And in my family, it's worked out for a lot of my brothers and sisters, but you go and experience life first, and that's what he's talking about. I mean, that's what's given me some modicum of happiness. But, okay, you were miserable. But as human beings, it wasn't that long ago in comparison to the history of the universe that we had really two problems. Either starving to death or getting eaten by something. And now we're to the point where, well, I'm just not happy because my job's not very full. But it gives you money so that you can fucking live and eat.
And like, pass along your genes. What is happiness? It's like you're like directed.
Programmed to do.
Yeah. Do the thing that you're supposed to do.
Gotta find happiness in here, Chet. Right in here. I'm touching my balls right now. No, my heart.
You guys give such fucking backwards.
We don't know what the fuck.
Because you're basically saying, like, the girl, I'm like, oh, this might be, look, like, this is, I'm going to make this work. You're like, don't even fucking talk to her. Fuck, she's not going to fucking meet you.
Yes,
fuck
that. We're right about that.
Yeah, but you already, yeah, that's already been established. Now let's get, are you comfortable getting into this?
I don't think.
Yes, that's a yes.
We're getting into it. Because you've been in a fucking funk. And I told you, you had a texting situation, and what did she say? She, I think I have food poisoning, and then you never heard back. And you, being a decent, caring person, went over there to check on her.
But back up for a second. So first of all, it was a girl who he'd been friends with, then he was hooking up with, then she started to pull away. And he wasn't hearing back from her a whole lot.
Right.
And she wasn't texting him back a whole lot. Then they were talking a little bit, but then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she said, I think I have food poisoning. Then he didn't hear from her again. Then
right.
He went over there. She was asleep, and he woke her up, right?
I knocked on her door, and she finally responded to my text, like, I fell asleep, whatever. I mean, that's the very basic, simplistic version of it. And then, like, but, like, those texts ended with me, like, because we had, like, a little argument, and, like, I just kind of put everything out there. I don't want to communicate over text. I think most, if not all, of my problems in any relationship have resulted in
you caring too much.
Well, that is one thing, but it's almost like I feel like sometimes with girls, I'm dating two people. I'm dating the person that when I'm physically with, and not just like hooking up in the bed, but like physically we're in the same room. Things are great.
Yeah, but then you separate and you're not good at the phone and the texting and all that stuff.
Yeah, like there's something that people change. There's some disconnect with the way.
Yes, you're supposed to ignore them during that period of time. A lot more. The feeling I'm getting. Okay, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I know you perfectly. I don't know. I've only met you a couple times. Like, this is the second time I'm here. But I just have a quick feel, right? And again, I could be wrong. But is my feeling that you need to, specifically with this girl and in general, do a lot more ignoring, okay? And with this girl, it's probably, as Dunk said, irrecoverable. And you have to ignore that girl, not as a technique to get her back, but just ignore her forever and go after another girl. And, you know, that might actually have the effect of getting her back, but it might not, and you have to divorce yourself from that possibility.
But
at
that
all.
Literally is the only way.
That is the only way you might get her, is if you forget that she exists and try to date other women.
That is the truth.
And really forget that she exists.
Yeah.
See, this is why I didn't want to have this conversation, because before I came over, I'm in my gym clothes, I was at the gym, and then I had an hour meeting with a therapist, which was basically the opposite of everything you guys have been
well,
saying.
Your therapist,
which I'm not going to get into.
Your therapist,
what's your therapist
take,
say?
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Okay,
all right. All right, well, what you should do then is just go over to her house and tell her you love her. Stand outside and sing a song.
Is your therapist a man?
See, now I can't tell if you're doing a bit or being sarcastic.
No, 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 no.
I'm being sarcastic.
Answer my question.
You don't really want to go over
and tell her. Is your therapist a man?
No.
All right, well then. We're right.
Throw her out
no,
the window.
You are the one. No.
There's
right.
absolutely no
He's
question
right.
in this situation. We're right.
Yes.
We've had it happen to us, so we know.
We've been
you
there.
Were behaving in a way that a wife would want you to behave, not somebody who's considering whether or not she wants to be with you.
To hook up with you.
And that's a sad truth, and there's just no
You've
got to
tell
it.
Us what the shrink said. You have to
yeah,
tell
yeah,
us
yeah, yeah,
now
you have to know.
What that shrink said.
It was basically just to go with my gut, and my gut is
no
bullshit.
What? You
bullshit. Oh my god!
You have
go
to go
with
against
gut?
Your gut when you're dealing with a woman in this situation. You have to go against.
See, but
you
that's
have
what
to fight
I've done.
Every
no.
you want to go over there.
That's
and
what
you
I've
want
done
to
for 2 weeks. Right? No, I cut her off. I did. I blocked
two
Facebook.
Weeks.
You don't respond to
2 months.
Done. No. Well, I'm not wired that way. I just think I'm wired differently.
Oh my god! You sound
the wired
like me.
Guy who doesn't fucking get laid. That's exactly.
See, that's the thing, though. That's where I'm different. Like, sex
you don't
is
care.
Not the most important.
You sound just like me, dude. You want the girl to be, you can connect with emotionally, right?
Exactly.
Yes, you're not going to get that unless you listen to us.
Right.
Or hook up. Right? They are not going to give you their emotions if you are laying yourself out there for them. Ever.
They won't do it.
They will not.
It's programming.
It's
you a deep down at a level, you are supposed to kill things and then fucking eat it and bring it back, and they know that in their DNA. You have to be
there's
that
just nothing
guy.
More of a turnoff to a girl when you're first starting dating than you being open about your emotions and caring and showing up when you think she might be sick, when she's already kind of giving you signals that it's not going on. That is one way to go to the creep, to the friend zone, or even the creep zone. Like, they cannot do that. You must ignore her. And you said you did a couple of weeks of ignoring her, blocking her on Facebook. Blocking her on Facebook is not ignoring her.
Yeah.
Blocking her on Facebook is saying, you hurt my feelings. That's what blocking her on Facebook
yep.
is.
Yep.
That is not ignoring her.
Not
ignoring
checking
her is
Facebook.
You don't give a shit. You post on Facebook or you don't. You're not checking hers. You don't give a shit whether she reads your Facebook or not. It doesn't matter. She does not matter to you. Blocking her on Facebook says, you matter to me so much that I can't have you in my life. And if I see you, I'm going to be infatuated by you.
Exactly.
That's the exact opposite of what you need to do. You need to not care about her, ignore 100%. You don't signal ignoring, you just ignore.
How do you, like, this, if this was you 10 years ago, that, like, how do you make that leap? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know I kind of sound like a total
I'll tell you
fucking
exactly.
pussy.
No.
But, like, that's, I'm being very,
I have
very
your
vulnerable.
Answer. I have your
okay.
answer. You, every guy has a few girls that they're thinking about, that they know, that they're thinking they might try to hook up with or whatever, and you just move on to number two, and you put everything on her, right? And you just, like, try to develop your feelings for the other person that you might be considering as a romantic interest, and you put the girl who's in number one at number 100. She's out of it. She's just off the fucking list. That's what you do. And you just put your energy where it might actually bear fruit. And then if that doesn't bear fruit, down to 100, move on to number 3.
Now, let me give you an example. Not just, we're just two guys yelling at you, but we know because we've gone through this. I was in,
like,
love
in the worst way.
With a girl in high school. In love. My first love. Literally crazy about her. We dated for 2 years, maybe 3 straight, then on and off. And then summers she would spend at the lake. And then, for some reason, we didn't really hook up in the summer because there was some other dude there. But I let it fucking eat at me, and I could never let it go. Well, years went by, and then we were all back home. The old crew, playing beer pong, getting fucked up at Madigan's. This is great. It feels like we're 18 again. I end up fucking her. What do I do the next day? I fucking had a dozen roses sent to her fucking house. And she did not even want to see me before we all left town again that night.
Okay.
And I was so upset, and I showed up in her house drunk and fucking slop. Do you understand how what a turnoff that was for her?
All right, let me jump in here.
This is how much that meant to me. I'm going to send you flour. What the fuck was that going to do?
I've got two stories for you. The first one is when I first moved here, I was 26. A friend of mine lived up in San Francisco, and he had me come up. I went up to visit him. Me and my friends went up to visit him a couple times. His cousin, her friend, was out like dancing with us, and we hit it off, and I went back to her place, and we hooked up. And then I came back up like a month later, and then I saw her again, and we hung out, and we hooked up, and it was the best time. It was like so much fun. I went home to LA, I had flowers sent to her office, she never talked to me again. She never spoke to me again. Now, and I was head over heels for this chick. Then, there was a girl who I met at a party at my house, like 9, 10 years ago. No, God.
Yipper?
No. Jesus Christ. No. You know who I'm talking about. We're not going to say her name because we all know her probably. Sure. You probably know her. So, she came to a party at my house, and I was just like, oh man, this chick's cool. She's funny. She's cute. Like, I'm into her, and I was like, and we were on drugs, we hit it off, we hooked up, and then, like, we hung out, like, I don't know, like, 5 or 6 times, and, like, it was good, but, like, I was just so into it that, like, she was started crazy into it, and the more I was into it, the less into it she got, and then all of a sudden, she just stopped talking to me. And then I was, like, devastated about it, and then, like, you know, I had a girlfriend for a couple years, but then, years went down the line, I ran into her again, and I was like, I'm going to make a go at this again. I've been broken up about this girl for so long. So I, like, was so nice to her, and I, like, we went to, like events together, and I was, like, always, like, giving her back rubs and, like, just doing things for her and just, like, I'm here, I'm around, I'm here if you need me. Like, if you ever need someone to talk to, and, like, texting, never pressuring to hook up, you know, just, like, slowly breaking her down. Then I did. I eventually broke her down, and then it was great. We were hanging out, but, like, she was always, like, a little bit distant, but it was, like, really good. And then she was like, I want you to be my boyfriend. I'm like, that's amazing. And then we went out for, like, 2 weeks, and then I went on a trip to Ireland with my family, and I came back, and she had cheated on me and was like, well, I'm not seeing. And then the worst thing about it is that, like, after she cheated on me, I was like, well, do you still want to try to make it work? And she did it. Like, and I was like just a puddle. Like, this chick destroyed me for, like, and, like, there was, like, years where I was like, oh, I just can't stop thinking about this dumb chick that, like, I don't even like, I don't even understand what I was into about her. Like, she was a bad person, you know what I mean? But I was like, it was like something about that was, I was enchanted by it. And it was all because I was too nice.
You were acting like,
and I was telling her that she had it too much. I was signaling too easily to her, look, my heart's yours if you want it. Oh, you know, and then so that was what scared her off. And it took that happening to me to teach me that you have to, look, as much as it sucks, like, affairs of the heart is partly a business transaction, is what it really breaks down to. Like, I'll give you some of my emotion, you give me some of yours. We have to come at this as equal partners, and we both have to be satisfied with where we're at emotionally in order for it to work. If it's too much on one side or the other, it falls apart because the other person doesn't respect what you're giving them.
I don't think I disagree with any of that, but how you get to that, I think there's, and time will obviously tell, but there's a difference between just hearing that and don't think you just have to, as shitty as it is, you just have to kind of go through that and experience that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would suck if that's, very well might be the case.
Like,
but
if I listen to everything you say and just apply it, what's to say, okay, the next girl, the same thing doesn't happen? You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
well, this is how you apply it. Every time you're about to text them, you think to yourself, was I the last person to text them? If yes, then you do not send. Ever. If I text somebody and they don't text me back, they never hear from me again. That's a good rule. Ever. Like,
sometimes I don't return my wife's texts.
I've been with her.
Well, I'm not recommending that.
And when's the last time you got laid, bro?
That's a good point.
why you gotta hurt.
No, but seriously, if, like, just never text two times in a row. And unless it's an emergency, and never, ever, ever three times in a row, ever, 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 ever. That's a good example. You never call somebody twice in a row. You know what I mean? And you never tell them anything about how you're feeling that you haven't heard an equivalent from them already. If you follow those rules, you'll be able to apply what we just discussed.
That
without going through the fucking horrible pain that you're going to have to in order to learn it.
To get to that point, though, like, do you feel like that's natural for you to do now? Or, like, what's your relationship status?
Oh, it's great.
Like, you're with somebody.
I have a girlfriend I love.
Okay. But I guess where I struggle, like, logically and emotionally is, like, well, if I have to be this way, like, that's not who I feel I am. And, like, why would I want to be with somebody where I can't be myself?
Just fake it till you make it. I know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and I know exactly what you're talking about, and you just have to fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
I tried, that's not who I am, and I'm going to just tell them everything, and I just want to be honest and lay it out on the line. I know, and it's like, that's a deal breaker. This person I'm going to fall in love with has to be able to appreciate me for wanting to be honest and put it all on the table. That didn't work either.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, but, again, I know I'm sounding like a total fucking, earlier, like,
well, you sound like, from Swingers, the,
Favreau
from Swingers is something similar.
But you're just like you learned that lesson by experience.
I'm Vince Vaughn, everybody. I'm Vince Vaughn in this.
Which one am I?
You're the friend.
I'm the black guy. I want to be the black guy.
No, you're
not.
Man,
she's dead anyway.
Man, it's
just okay, Ron Livingston.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Ron Livingston.
But when you go against the girl, like, it still bothered, like, when I've tried to do it, like, take other people's advice and do something that doesn't feel natural, like, no, this is over. Like, I have it in me where it's like, no, I just have to fucking share my feelings. I know
that's
the fucking worst.
Don't do that.
That's the worst.
Try the fucking system three times, and when it works, then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh. And you're not going to have that thing bother you.
Why don't you approach it like acting? Or, like, creating a character.
There you go.
And why don't you just
pretend...
Why
don't I approach it with something that I have zero experience in?
Why don't you pretend to be...
Well, if you want to be in this... Hold on a second. I'm glad
that
this...
Pretend to be dangerous. Pretend that, hey, you're in Hollywood now, and you're a fucking actor, and you're
if you're saying you can't act and you don't have any interest in this, in acting, then you really need to get out of this business. Because no agent wants somebody who is just going to be a touring stand-up comic. There is no fucking money in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... Like, Brian's, like, traditionally trained and act, like, wants to be, like...
Well,
like,
you have to do that, like, but you have to learn how to act.
Yeah,
you have to take
classes. The things I'm doing, I've been going through... I know it's not direct acting, but, like, going through UCB's program, like, that's...
That's not the same. I'm talking about acting classes. You must take acting classes, because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Okay.
That's just a fact of acting.
I also need to figure out income first, so I can afford acting
classes. Well, in the meantime, if you can't afford acting classes... Here's a good way to try. Why don't you try acting dangerous to women for a little
while? Why don't
you
do... Let me tell you an example. When you get to know a girl a little bit, you're running in the same circles, maybe she's come over and hung out. This is what I said to a girl once leaving a party. I said, hey, I'm going to take off, but just in case you get lost on your way home, my front door is going to be open. And an hour later, she's in my bed. And that woman is my wife. So it fucking worked. And I did that.
We're talking about point of view, like playing the love lorn versus creepy. I feel like, for Brian, that could work. And then for me, somebody would be like, what the fuck? I need to call the cops.
No. Well, listen, there's
and try
you don't
it
have
with
to
20
do
girls.
You don't have to do it the super aggro way, but like, there's. I mean, I am a fan of what Dunkelman's basically saying, which is just like lay it on the table a little bit when you tell them that you're interested. Like, you know, and you can make it, if you're scared of rejection, you do it in a way that you could say, oh, I was just kidding. You know what I mean? To be like, oh, why are you going that way? My dick's over here. You know what I mean? Or like, whatever. How are we ever going to hook up if you go that way?
Yeah,
if you go home.
Why are you going that way? My dick's over here.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, why are you leaving right now? It's going to be hard for me to chase you around all night if you're doing that. You know what I mean? Like, just tell them, like, I'm hitting on you. Like, that can go a long way towards, like, and then you can just read it. And, like, if she's like, ha, 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 she'll tell you in a friendly way in that moment, I find, whether or not she's interested.
Sure, I mean, I think that's kind of how I approach, like, I am very direct, but I think where that same kind of philosophy applies down the line, where, like, I'm not good with ambiguousness, and maybe that's part of why he delayed all along.
Oh, you gotta learn like, too.
This is it, and then I will know one way or another.
No. Is this it? Is this all we're doing?
Doesn't that apply like the same way with Brian? Maybe we all do stand up from very different places, but I just kind of feel like I need to put everything out there.
No.
My best friend once pointed out this is definitely a weakness I have with women, where if my first impression, I will put like the worst thing. I try not to do this as much anymore, but I'll like put out the worst thing.
I have no problem with that. I like that. No problem with that. So
I'm like, well, if I open up with, you know, like, here are all these
I have one kidney.
If they can, maybe even, like, if they can, because, I mean, that's the truth.
If they're on board with that, you're good. Yeah. It can also be
self-destructive.
Sure, the kind of chicks you're going to want are going to be able to get into that. And also it can help, like, bring up humor that, you know, in that circumstance. I'm totally cool with that. But here's the thing. You have to act even though this is not true, okay? Even though you're looking for a connection and you're not sure whether they are, right? You want a relationship, you're not sure where they are. You have to act as though they're obviously going to want to be your girlfriend and you're not sure, right? So you want to keep it light, as though that's the situation, because that is, I think, what they kind of want. Like they're more used to that engagement between men and women.
Yes, and
I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I'm just saying it just tends to be the way men and women interact. It seems, especially at our age.
And heavy on the playful sexual innuendo.
But how does that come around? That's just your entire set. How does that come around where, okay, so that's what they want. How does that come around for what you want?
What do you mean? Well, that's because then you're, in my experience, and I'm not generalizing here that this is how it always is, but often, as time goes on, she will be like, oh, then that is what I want, and she'll let you know. Like, when are we going to take this to the next level? And then you can then be in the position of saying yes or no, which is much different than you saying, hey, won't you please?
And it helps if you can make them come really hard one time.
Yeah.
That's kind of the key, too.
Yeah.
That wasn't a problem.
Oh, well, there we go. Hey!
Chet's feeling confident.
I find him very confident.
Good.
Or not.
Well, that's...
I believe
we're just saying that's key, too.
Yeah.
I don't really do anything. It's just my giant penis.
You guys ever ride the bull?
A lot of comics go for that. Yeah, that's the old the club back in Rochester. They have a mechanical bull next door. Brian would always do that joke that when I wasn't there.
What are you talking about?
People, the last time you were at that club, I wasn't there.
I did your joke.
Yeah, you were joking. But then you'll be like, Chet Wild, everybody. I'm there by proxy.
Nice.
All right, well, you don't have time for... all three questions. We'll just ask you one that you can probably answer.
Okay, one question.
We'll go out on a positive note. What's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
What's the best thing that ever happened to me?
Mm-hmm. We normally ask what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened
this
to you.
That's okay. I'll take it. This is sappy, but meeting my current girlfriend.
And then apply the rules of you've never texted her.
You know what's funny is like I learned those lessons, and I applied them on dating a whole bunch of people, which got my confidence up to the point where I was gonna be capable of dating this girl. But I didn't succeed at every test that I laid on you before. I laid out a little bit before she did a couple of times, but thank God I knew what I was doing, you know what I mean, at that point? And I knew I was getting it back from her already. She was signaling to me in other ways.
See, I'm very happy for you, but I'm a little sad because I'm not, if this keeps going the way it's going, am I going to get any more fucking stories that I only get to live vicariously through you?
Oh, I can tell you some great me and her sex stories if you want.
Yeah.
Not as much fun?
I definitely want to hear all of them. But then it's just going to get old.
I will tell you all of them. And she'll be cool with it, but not on a podcast.
All right. Well, we got to go, everybody, because I'd like to hear some stories.
All right.
I'd like to thank our guest, Brian Bollinger.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Chet. I'd like to thank Gussie. You were a really good boy.
Gussie was really good.
And Jackson. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. The best fucking sex thing that we've been doing is that.